Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro Call. Today is March 12th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts and subscribing to MotoVitality, or by going to MotoVitality.com, and where you can listen to, you know, years and years and years, decades, and, well, one decade, actually, of calls. But we love having you on live. Sounded like there's a couple of new people on here today, and definitely appreciate very much coming on. I like this call to be a discussion. So I do appreciate having your phone muted if you've got background noise, but please unmute. Sometimes there's a little bit of a delay, and I'll ask a question. And for those of you that have been here, I'll ask a question. I do try and give you a little bit of time to unmute. If I start talking again before you get unmuted, please interrupt. Please make it a discussion. I do want to talk about this, you know, what everybody's been talking about today, this COVID-19, otherwise known as the coronavirus. And we'll talk about that and kind of how I'd like to just have a discussion about how it might be impacting our businesses, our sales, you know, just kind of a general discussion. But I do want to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything that happened this last week that did anybody learn anything, or anything happened this last week that you wish you had known before? Was there anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with, any questions that you have or anything that we can help you with?
Kelly, I had one of our MV pros contact me yesterday, and I kind of wanted to throw something out there, just a real quick discussion, see what everybody's thoughts were on this. And if that MV pro wants to jump in, they're more than welcome to. So one of the companies that MotoVitality has had the honor of working with, when they have a rental, they will leave the rental. If somebody moves out, they'll allow the homeowner to leave the rental in the home. And then once the home is sold or re-rented, then they will contact the new owner and say, you have this equipment in there. Would you like to continue renting it, purchase it, or would you like to have us pull it out? And one of the questions is, in the past, what they've done is they've usually just stopped by and said, hey, want to let you know you have our equipment in your home. It's a rental equipment, and here are your options. Would you like to discuss your different options? And the question was, does it make sense to go ahead and send a letter first and just say, welcome to the neighborhood, welcome to your new home, wanted to let you know you have rental equipment, and we'll be stopping by at 1 o'clock on Tuesday to speak to you. What is everybody's thoughts? Does it make sense to send a letter stating that, or does it make sense to just swing on by because you were in the neighborhood? What are thoughts?
So, Jen, do the people, are they aware when that's happening? You know, did they just buy a house and suddenly somebody just shows up and says, oh, by the way, you owe us $50 a month or whatever it is? Or are they aware that they have this rental? Are they, you know, is this something that the current homeowners, you know, the new homeowners, is it something they know about?
They should. That's something that should be disclosed. However, it's not always disclosed. There are a lot of times that we'll knock on the door and say, oh, you have this rental equipment, and they'll have no idea because it's in the home. They just expected that it was part of the home, you know, that it was part of the sale or part of we're renting a house and there's a softener already. So sometimes they are pretty surprised that they have to start paying for it.
I mean, I think there's a lot of breakdown in the whole thing there. I think obviously the more communication there is, but if I'm a homeowner and I'm not aware, and somebody just shows up, a total stranger, another company just shows up, whether I have the equipment or not, I can tell you my first reaction would be, no, I just bought this house. Nobody told me I had a rental there, so good luck coming to get your equipment. You know, that's a, That's kind of
Right?
the reaction I would have with it. I don't think I would, you know, especially into even if it was, I don't know if I would say it that rudely, but no, I think communication is really important. And frankly, I think there's a breakdown. That policy to me seems, I think that's on the company to make sure that that information is communicated or that somebody is liable for that product. You know, that's having sold a house, I know that you can disclose those things. It's in writing, and it really should be. You know, I know that you have to put those things down when you as part of the disclosures. And if they're not put down on the paperwork, then that's, you know, they've got to be there. But I think yes, the more communication you have with it, the better. Anybody else have any thoughts on that before we jump into our topic of the day, which is what I think most people are on with our most.
I didn't hear.
Go ahead.
I didn't hear all that because I dropped the call for some reason. But
yeah,
you're right about the disclosure, but that doesn't mean that everything is always done the way it's supposed to be. And mm-hmm. and you can develop a really irate potential client there. That's a touchy situation. So I'm not sure the best way to handle that.
I would definitely make sure that they are aware and everybody is communicated with. For sure. So, I want to jump into having this discussion about this coronavirus, the COVID-19. And I just, you know, before I start, you know, we kind of go into a lot of the same basic stuff. I mean, as I'm looking at the CDC's website right now, and they report accurately every day. And it looks to me like here in the United States, as of yesterday, the most recent update, we've got 938 cases in the United States, a total of 29 fatalities, and there are 38 states and Washington, D.C. that have reported cases. You know, there's – I don't know if you guys were aware, but, you know, I think it's just the way that the nature of the way the U.S. is that, you know, we've had now the NBA has suspended games. It's seasonal games. The NCAA is playing games without an audience. There are, you know, many states are restricting gatherings of more than 1,000 people. And, you know, just the way this I think is going to probably make it more real, ironically, for people than is that Tom Hanks and his wife are tested positive and are in quarantine right now. You know, Tom Hanks, the actor, and that's going to make people go, wow, you know, that's somebody that, you know, even though they don't know him or anything, it's a celebrity that, you know, has now contracted. Just in case, if you haven't heard that story, they're in Australia and apparently, and they were waiting to film a movie and started feeling ill and contracted it. So they're not here in the U.S. right now. But, you know, with the European travel restrictions now and many of things, you know, I'm in New York right now on Long Island, and about 15 miles from me is New Rochelle, the city that they've just brought the National Guard in to help with containment, you know, which – you know, I don't think like it is in the movies, you know, you get people with rifles trying to keep people in and out. That's not from what I understand, what they're doing. They're there to try and help make sure that people have food and water and they're delivering and stuff like that. So, but anyway, you know, it's interesting. And by the way, as of right now, the Water Quality Association convention, the WQA convention, is still on. As far as I know, the last word that I had as of yesterday was that the WQA and boot camp, they have not canceled that program. I know that I have been getting a lot of phone calls and a lot of messages, private messages, asking my opinion and my stance on it. And I would say that you know, just for my case, I've opted not to not to fly the more vulnerable of the Motor Vitality team down. I just, that doesn't make a ton of sense, so I've opted not to do that. And then the rest of it, I will, you know, WQA has given until Monday for people to cancel and, you know, for without penalty or anything like that. They've extended that deadline. I suspect strongly by tomorrow, certainly by Monday morning, the Water Quality Association will make another announcement one way or the other. I also think that we are finally starting to see some, you know, it's been, the messaging has been kind of a challenge, at least from my perspective. The messaging on this has been a little bit of a challenge. On one side, you have the media, I think, that loves to sensationalize things, and it's just, you know, it becomes this really big, huge, huge thing. On the other hand, you have, you know, the spinning and the attempts to keep the panic down, you know, coming from some officials that are, you know, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. And I think it's, as with a lot of our news nowadays, it's hard to find the objective right down the middle, you know, information on there. I am going to recommend that we go to the CDC, you look at your state health departments and stuff like that and look at it locally. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on this call talking about that stuff. We get that all over the news. I wanted to actually have a conversation today just to see, number one, to give some feedback and some advice on how, I mean, this is, could potentially have an impact on our businesses. You know, many of us are small businesses. We are very public. Our job is very public. We are walking into people's homes. You know, we are out and about, you know, and at their sink, and we've got their families, and, you know, and I wanted to have a discussion about how that might impact our business, how we might prepare for what we do, you know, for if, you know, if you get sick or if somebody does get sick, you know, let's talk a little bit for, you know, for this call on what that protocol might need to be or what, you know, what we're going to do. But let me first off ask before we jump into that, has anybody had has this impacted anybody in any way? Tell me the ways that out in the field in sales and what you're doing or in your business, tell me how this has had an impact on you. Have you noticed a decline in business? Have you, have there been less appointments? And I'm going to answer that before I do for my part. I've not seen a drop in appointments. We actually are still, even on Long Island with the company that I'm working with on Long Island, there are still plenty of appointments. People are aware. There are people that are asking us through the door if we have any kind of sniffles or if we're sick in any shape or form. We've been asked that a couple times. Nobody's shaking hands. But the number of appointments doesn't seem to be declining, which is kind of interesting. You know, like everywhere else, the stores are very bare, and the topic, of course, is hand sanitizer and toilet paper. But beyond that, we are still doing installs and still doing service and still running sales appointments. I'm curious.
Kelly, can I make a suggestion? Before you go into that too deep, I wanted to just tell you that I did follow up with the contact at the WQA, and
yes.
I asked him how many exhibitors had pulled out. He said he could not give me that information, but you can go into the WQA website, look at the floor plan, and get an idea. He did tell me that the tracking for attendees was on par with previous years, but they are concerned about that. And then, as you mentioned a couple minutes ago, there are many locations where they're banning gatherings of 1,000 or more people. So it's worthy of looking into that a little further before you make the final decision. And definitely will impact the business there. A lot of money been spent and plans made for that.
Yeah. So what about more on the local? Thank you very much, Jerry. I appreciate that. What about more on the local scale? How's this impacting you guys? I'm just curious to hear if you've had an impact in this in the field. And let's talk about what we're doing. Let's share with each other what we're doing to address it. Is anybody, are people talking about it in your areas? Is this only a New York thing?
Hey, it's Stacy here. Good. We were a sponsor for the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb that was supposed to happen Saturday, where people fundraised to run 47 flights of stairs for the Lung Association. They canceled it. It was Saturday morning. We were supposed to be there at 6 a.m. They canceled it at 5:15 Friday because of this, because we had the first positive test in the Indy area.
Yeah.
They had 1,100 people participating in this, and they canceled it last minute because the Salesforce Tower people decided they didn't want to risk infecting their building for their employees or their tenants in their building.
Yeah.
And I now have a ton of water locked in a storage room in the Salesforce Tower that I can't get. I can't resell.
Yeah.
And we have no idea when this will get rescheduled, but it's a major event. It's going to take a few months.
Sure. We're certainly seeing the financial impact. And it's hard to determine. So I've heard, you know, for some people, there is a liability issue, and I know that comes into play, you know. So I know it's frustrating and it's having this negative impact, but that's where I've seen it, is these events that are canceled. But, you know, if you're looking at that building, right, and you're looking at your liability and you're erring on the side of caution with that, and let's say somebody got sick and you know, God forbid there was a, fatality from it, then, you know, everybody, I think sometimes those decisions are really tough on how to do those things, because you weigh that, you know, that it does seem over the top, some of the things that they're doing to me so far. I mean, I'm certainly not a doctor or a medical official or even, you know, an event coordinator, but it definitely has an impact. Thank you, Stacy. I know that stinks, you know. What else are we seeing? How else are we getting impacted by this stuff? Somebody
Kelly,
else is going to say
something. Kelly, it's Catherine from Patterson's Water. We had a home show on Saturday, and there was a really low numbers in attendance. It was really low. And I think it's just people, you know, not wanting to come out into that scene.
See, that's interesting, because we had a show, the company that I'm with on, on Long Island that I'm working with, we had a show on Saturday and Sunday, and I thought the attendance was really solid. And I don't know how it compared to past years, you know, because it's the first time they'd done this show. But it was, I find that kind of, I was wondering about that. I was wondering if it was going to be. Now, there is another one scheduled, a big one, a home and garden show that's coming up in 2 weekends. And I'm very curious about that, you know, what the attendance is going to be like. I mean, the story is going so fast, but that's, yeah. And so the cost of that show, Catherine, I mean, for your company, you're in New Jersey. And so,
yeah.
You know, and it is, you know, next door to New York City. So it's, and then Stacy, you're in Indianapolis. Jerry, you're in California, where you've been talking, you know, near in the Bay Area, right? You've been kind of hearing that stuff. But so let's talk about, in the last 10 minutes, anybody else have anything that's directly impacting them real quick?
Well, Stacy again. We're getting nervous. We start Saturday a 9-day flower and patio show. And I'm like, we have no idea if anybody's going to show up, but we need to sell $21,000 just to break even on this show.
Yeah.
It makes us nervous.
Yeah. Has definitely is going to have an impact. And I think that's, That's what we're starting to see right now are the financial impacts of this, you know, and I think, you know, that is making people a little nervous. Let's talk about it more on the street level, though, as far as, and this is going to spend, you know, have some of this is going to be common sense stuff, okay, but I want to discuss a couple things, and just to reiterate, obviously, and we've all seen the memes, and we know this, but it's good that hand washing is back in now. You know, that is it's the end thing. It's kind of hand washing is hip. That's which is kind of good. You know, we need to do that. I also know, you know, here's the challenge with this, and I wanted to use this call to sort of balance a little bit, you know, the intemper, because I am getting a lot of calls from people, from colleagues, from people in the industry, and people asking, and I'm always appreciative that they think my opinion is worthy of hearing, but what I would say is I think it makes sense to be cautious. You know, it is a challenge because it's allergy season too, and right as, you know, we're coming in just at the allergies, but I do think it makes sense to err on the side of caution. You know, you don't have to go out there and not wear masks, but you also don't have to, especially if you are one of the vulnerable population, or, you know, which they're saying the elderly, you know, the older people, if you have any kind of a respiratory issue or immunodeficiency issue, or if there's somebody in your family that has that, you know, then it does make sense to exercise additional caution. Just use common sense. Wash your hands constantly. You know, I mean, in this situation, you know, just stay clean. And if you see somebody that's got the sniffles or whatever, I don't think it's necessary to be disrespectful, but I think that most people are aware right now that, you know, it's the way the public would react to them. You know, I think it's like somebody, I was in the store yesterday and somebody sneezed, and it's like all heads turned to that person to see if there were any indication at all that it was, you know, to see if they had any other signs of illness. It was just a sneeze. I mean, people sneeze, you know, you're taking a drink of water and it goes down the wrong pipe and you cough. But I do notice that people, they definitely look at you when that happens. So I think that alone will kind of keep people inside for the most part. I will say this. I know that we have to have money. We have to make, you know, we have to make money. We have to make money for our families. I think it's important right now to have the conversation with your owners and your managers within your companies, within your business. I think it's really, really important to have a conversation about what happens if you do start to feel ill. You know, we all have families. Many of us, we rely on the income. I think you need to have that discussion with your owners and managers now. What is the contingency? And I think you do it in a way where you say, look, I want you to trust me to know that I would not, you know, I'm just looking at this in preparation. I wouldn't take advantage of the situation, but if I do start to get sick, I'm going to have enough to worry about as it is, that, you know, what should the protocol be? You know, what can you expect in terms of support from your organization? I think, you know, in terms of customers right now, most of them not only would understand, you would do more damage to your customer relationship and to your, you know, your future business and to the company to show up to a customer's house when you are feeling slightly ill or sick. I think, you know, even with allergy, I think it's prudent. Let's say if you're, you know, 99% sure that it's allergies, and, you know, and that is something like that, I think it makes sense to give a phone call to that customer first and say, hey, look, I just, you know, I get allergies this time of year. I'm aware of it, but I just want to let you know that I've got some watery eyes and, you know, whatever those symptoms are. It's completely up to you. We can either send somebody else from the company or we can reschedule this in, you know, in a couple days or whatever. I think it makes sense to make that phone call. And stay in communication, especially right now. People are extra aware of that stuff. I also think that this is a good time, and this is going to sound industry self-serving, but this is a good time to start. If you had to, for whatever reason, you found yourself in a situation, just even erring on the side of caution, where you were self-quarantining. You know, a lot of people, that's the thing right now, is the self-quarantine for a couple weeks. Even for those that aren't, you know, that have mild symptoms or that just came into exposure or whatever, I think this is a great time to start to prep for those, you know, for WQA certification. Start to study, use it to learn, you know, use it to grow. Because I do think that this thing is going to stabilize. Things are going to get back on track. Maybe it changes. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. I mean, the reaction to this seems exponential. I mean, it's pretty incredible, actually, almost surreal. But I do think that it will stabilize and you know, maybe we change our habits a little bit and we change what we do, but it will, we will adapt. We're an adaptable species. So when that happens, we're still going to want, you know, WQA certification, and we're going to still want to have that knowledge, and we're still going to have jobs that we have to do. And in fact, if the zombie apocalypse fully does come, then what we do in our industry, water, is our knowledge in water is going to be in demand. So, you know, when just like in all the movies, when they're deciding which gets to, you know, who gets to go, you know, on the, you know, who gets to go on the cruise ship to the safe island, anyway, that little irony there, I cracked me up. You know, you guys noticed that, you know, I do think that it makes sense to start to prepare for what you would do to kind of educate yourself and to, you know, to further, you know, to make the best use of your time, you know, and rather as opposed to just sitting and catching up on the Netflix shows or whatever. But,
Kelly, I have one real quick. Yeah. I saw that one of the water treatment companies, they had posted something about, you know, buy a water softener, get 24 pack of toilet paper for free or something like that, you know, which was using humor in the situation. And sometimes that's what you have to do. But I need to request that use caution when you are marketing this situation, because, you know, to go in and say, oh, if you get reverse osmosis, it's going to kill coronavirus. You know, you can't, don't do that. I know that there has been, you know, well, bottled water is shortage, so, you know, reverse osmosis gives you bottled water quality. But err on the side of caution when you're marketing the situation, because you don't want to come back and bite you in the rear end. And we want to keep honesty and integrity within the industry.
It's a really good point, Jen, and I think, and actually in terms of the reverse osmosis in the bottled water, you're absolutely right about that. People are stocking up and having an RO. I don't have any bottled water, you know, but I do have an RO, and I'm glad to, you know. This is, you're absolutely right. And it's not because of the, you know, I think a lot of that, the bottled water and stuff, I think that's because people, you know, they are suggesting that you get 2 weeks worth of food and put it in your, you know, where you live, because so that you can limit the amount of time that you're having to go out and get that stuff. Anyway, here's my final thoughts on this. I strongly recommend that you monitor the CDC's website. It has a lot of really great information on there, the World Health Organization. I also think that it's important to follow the Water Quality Association's guidelines on this stuff. I think that it's prudent to not panic, you know, most of us are, you know, that come on this call and, you know, people that I've been exposed to in the industry, it's easy to get wrapped up in the spin, you know, and the sensationalism of it one way or the other. But I think stepping back and using common sense, being cautious, using common sense, you know, not going one way or the other, to the extreme is probably the most prudent, at least at this point, probably the most prudent course of action. Most importantly, you guys, I want you to be safe. I want everybody to be safe and healthy I guess that's all I got to say about that, unless there's any final thoughts or comments from you guys. Okay. Well, with that, everybody, please have a very safe, and it's interesting, it'll be interesting what the news is over the next couple of weeks, but stay tuned, and we will talk to you next week, if not before, okay? So be safe, everybody. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty, who's still on?
I'm on.
Hi.
Hi.
A lot of people on this time.
Yeah, when I jumped on, it said 13, so.
Wow.
But, all righty. I don't think I have much to talk about. Kelly, are you on? I have to run in here. Okay, maybe Kelly's not on anymore.
Hello?
Corey, it sounds like we're probably going to cancel the booth, and then if they'll let us go ahead and for the cancellation, to next year or whatever. We're probably just going to cancel it. And I am like 90% sure they're just going to cancel the event. That's just my perspective on it.
My thoughts, just because, I forget what state it was, had 1,000. California just said anything over 250.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Right. I'm really getting flack. I was talking to one of my dad's doctors a couple days ago, and he asked, I said something about going out of town to Florida in a couple of weeks, and we weren't even on that topic. And he says, it's for a conference and you're flying. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, well, I recommend that you wait 2 weeks to, be near your parents, because my dad has COPD and my mom, has cancer. I'm like, well, that's not an option. And he says, well, you may want to repeat. But, if the show goes on, I'm still going to be going. Trisha couldn't even buy SpaghettiOs yesterday. In California and Los Angeles, like, shelves are bare. Anything canned food is bare. Yeah.
Jason was saying yesterday that the bottled water at Costco, they put a limit on there to two cases per person.
So people are fighting over it. It's insane.
Yeah, I bet. That's
I'm going to hang out at Costco the rest of next week and see what I can get.
What is that?
Well,
cutting?
I'm scrambling eggs.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm multitasking.
Gotcha.
Good job. All right. So that's all I got. I actually have to run in here.
I'll talk to Kelly. I'll give him a call and see.
Yeah. I know I thought he was going to stay on the call, but he said he needed to talk to me, but something has probably come up. But that's kind of it's scary. The panic is what frightens me, but at the same time, as horrible as it sounds, it's almost fascinating. My daughter and I were talking about that last night, how it's, when I say fascinating, it's just the human reaction. She gets auto ship on toilet paper. She's a part of the Amazon pantry or something, and they asked her, are you ready for your next shipment? And she's like, She said no. But she said that, and I was jokingly, I'm like, well, you could have turned around and probably paid a month's rent with that. And she's like, you know, that's what so angers me is that everybody takes advantage of the situation. They're, you know, selling a 24-pack of toilet paper for $200, you know.
Jesus.
And she says that's not cool.
Yeah,
that's what people are doing with the water at Costco. They've been going and stocking it at Costco and then selling it online for $35 or $50 or
yeah.
Whatever it is.
Wes said even Amazon. He went on Amazon. He was just, you know, curious, and he put in Scott, and of course Scott toilet paper comes up 4-pack for, I think he said it was like $8 or $12. I think it was $12, and he's like, what do you normally pay for a 4-pack? I'm like, well, we always have this conversation about how I wait for it to go on sale at Rite Aid when it's $7.99 for a 12-pack, but it's normally $13.99, you know, and I said, so, yeah, that's completely price gouging. He says, that's frustrating that that's what Rite Aid's or Amazon's doing, you know. So, anyway,
flights are real cheap, though. So.
What's that?
Flights are real cheap.
I know, right, right. All right, guys, I got to run in here. It sounds like we have another situation. So I got to run in here, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right, talk to you.
Take care. Bye.